So I said we do something on tefillah this week, and how tefillah works. And we spoke already about tefillah in the past. I think we spoke about the question, of course, is how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to a person's tefillah? The most important idea, the most important thing in tefillah. What's the most important thing in tefillah? The most important thing in tefillah is Yom HaFinish Yom HaZerai, but the most important, the first, the very first, and the most important thing in tefillah is that a person should have the correct idea of, insofar as possible, the correct idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the most important thing. Okay. Dalef Nehmi Atameh. Da, it means it requires a idea. It requires chokhmah, it requires knowledge. And the tefillah can never exceed the Das Hashem that the person has. And that's why there's a difference between tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the tefillah of Islam Ben Adam. Islam Yisrael. There has to be a difference because the difference starts off immediately by Yedias Hashem, knowledge of God. And the person, no matter how fervently is mispalel, he can't exceed the Yedias Hashem, the knowledge of God that he has. That's Dalef Nehmi Atameh. That's the very first premise of tefillah. So Yedias Hashem plays a primary role in our tefillah. That's why the pasuk says, Nirdefor Nedo Ladas Hashem, the Rambam says, referring to tefillah. Because in tefillah, the preamble to tefillah, the most important basic premise, the underlying premise of all tefillah is Yedias Hashem, knowledge of God. All right, so it's important that we understand. It's important that we understand tefillah. And unfortunately, in our society, and even in the Frum society, not too much importance is placed on this. And people feel that they try to place importance in Kavona and Tefillah, which of course is, goes without saying, important. But the most important, before Kavona even in Tefillah, is that a person should have the proper idea, before who he's standing. And as far as that idea is corrupt and it's incorrect, his tefillah is severely impaired. And this is something which our society, even the Frum society, is not concerned with. Not too concerned with. But it's an important, very important, fundamental in tefillah. Yeah. I don't know about that. My opinion, it says, Korav Hashem l'chol korav, b'chol asher yikra'u v'emes. That's what the pasuk says. So a person, apparently we have a guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to any individual that calls to him in truth. Korav v'emes. A person should be misfollowed himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to be misfollowed himself. Okay. Now, the problem in tefillah, of course, the problem in tefillah is that we maintain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. Ani Hashem lo shanisu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change, is not subject to change. And the biggest question in tefillah, the primary question for you is, how is it possible that through my act of being a spaller, I should bring about a change, kaviyachol, in the Ribbono Shel Olam? I mean, it's an impossibility. I mean, you can hardly even say such a thing. And yet we do say that tefillah is effective. And how is such a thing possible? Okay? The most basic premise in tefillah seems one that defies our concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. So what we should say is very simple. That whatever is going to happen to me, or whatever is going to happen to Klal Yisrael, if you think in a broader scale, and you should think in a broader scale, so whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But how is it possible that my verbalization, my tefillah, should effectuate a change? You can't even conceive of such a thing. That there should be a change in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It should change because of your tefillah. That you should be a causative agent to effectuate a change in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay. This is the most basic problem in tefillah. How do we understand such a thing? And it's important that we understand it, as I said before, because tefillah can't exceed our knowledge. And the word tefillah comes from pilel. It means to judge. It means thought. Every word in tefillah has to be thought out. Person, as I mentioned many times, a person can't just pour out his emotions before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just at will, and comply with the requirements of tefillah. Tefillah is very specific requirements. Every word in the tefillah is organized, worked out precisely, perfectly, and it takes years and years to begin to understand the depth of the tefillah, the way Chazal and Masakim the tefillah, Anshik Nesak Dola. 120 Chachamim Ubahem Kama Nevinim, the Nevin that worked out the tefillah. This last week somebody mentioned this. How come, why is it that the in every bracha, you ask right away, you ask God, the request is immediate. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokei, Tekabek Shem HaGadol, Refaino Ad Hashem V'Nei Rafei, except for one bracha. Which bracha is that? Atah Hanonim Das. Why don't we just start off right away? Why is that Atah Hanonim Das? Apparently the Chazal felt that unless a person is masi, unless a person understands the Chesed Hashem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him Das, he's not fit to ask for Das. That's why in that bracha you have to start off with Atachon Elonim Das. See, yeah, carefully, every refrain, you don't have to, the person wants help, everybody wants help. You know what help is. Baruch Hu, everyone knows, they want money. But the but Das, the person is in Masig, the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave man Das, Atachon Elonim Das, Chon is Chinam. So if a person doesn't have an appreciation of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift of Das, he's not fit to ask for Das. But you see, every bracha is formulated very precisely. Now we have to understand the basic concept, the basic problem of tefillah, how we could effectuate a change. And we discussed tefillah in the past. And what we discussed in the past was really two things. We explained what the essence of tefillah is, that tefillah is omei lefnei Hashem. That's really the essence of tefillah, like a Pliant points out halachically. And halachically, and over here it's not just halachically, it's philosophically. It's not just like the Tefillah's Lulav, it's the Tefillah's philosophy. So, Omei Lefnei Hashem is the primary gain that a person has, the most essential gain in tefillah is that he's Omei Lefnei Hashem. Not his bakashas, not whether he receives his request or not is unimportant. It's the fact that he's Omei Lefnei Hashem and he has a realization of his position in the universe, what he is, that is a Briya Shvela Vafela Omei Lefnei Kamen Deos. He has that recognition. That's Omei Lefnei Hashem. That's what it means, Omei Lefnei Hashem. The Ram says, Yossi min libo kol machshavos. All the attachments, the emotional attachments, the nonsensical attachments that a person has during the day, has to remove himself from this state of mind and just recognize his ultimate state of reality, which is just him and a Kadosh Baruch. So, Omei Lefnei Hashem is the essence, the essential key of tefillah, Omei Lefnei Hashem. That's what our client says, according to the Rambam. If you don't have that concept throughout the tefillah is nothing. Even if the Gemara says that in the Chavin to Magen Avraham with Paskin, but if you don't have that idea constantly, there's Omei Lefnei Hashem, any bracha that's said without that recognition of Omei Lefnei Hashem is a bracha levatala. That's what a Chaim says in the realm of Paskin. Okay. So that's one thing we spoke about. Then we spoke about another thing. We spoke about the fact that in tefillah, when a person is Omei Lefnei Hashem and he organizes his thoughts, because tefillah has to be organized thought, so when a person organizes his thoughts, so then the person gains a new, and reaches a new level. A new level in Chochmah, insofar as his personal life is concerned. So really, that's why Avodah Shebelev incorporates two areas. One area in Avodah Shebelev is Chochmah Hashem. That's the person learns a blood Gemara, so he's involved in Avodah Shebelev. Okay? That's Avodas Hashem. But then there's another area of Chachma which is necessary for a human being, and that's Chachma insofar as his personal life is concerned. The organization of the priorities of his personal life. What is important and what is not important. And what he should be mivakish for and what he should not be mivakish for. So tefillah is a moment when a person realizes that he's Omei Lefnei Hashem, and he organizes his thoughts, and he sets up his priorities. So he reaches a new level of chokhmah insofar as his personal life is concerned. A new values, insofar as a value system is established insofar, correct, the proper value system is established insofar as his personal life is concerned. And there is no human progress unless you work on both fronts. A person has to work on one front, he has to work in terms of perfection, involving himself in Chochmas Hashem, Chochmas HaTorah, learning, understanding a sugya, learning a blood of Gemara, and partaking in the depth of Torah. That's one area of perfection, and the other area is applying Chochmah to his personal life, recognition of his personal existence, the nature of that existence, what his priorities are, and that's really why tefillah is something. That's why somebody asked me, why don't the tefillahs change? Tefillahs are the same thing. The answer is the tefillahs don't have to change, because the tefillahs are really the perfect set of priorities. The person has to change. The person is mispalel every time. If he raises himself to a higher level every time, he will see more in the tefillahs than he saw before. So the tefillahs can't change. But the person, every tefillah should be new, because the person should be raising himself constantly to a higher level, a new perception of his status as a human being, where he is and where he is striving to be. That's really how tefillah perfects a person. So we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, can answer. We don't say, as the Rav one time mentioned, that the Goyim say that God answers tefillahs. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomeah Tefillah. Shomeah Tefillah. It means that every word that we say, we know that we're saying Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomeah Tefillah. But we don't say that he is always Mekabel Tefillah. Sometimes he's Mekabel Tefillah, sometimes he's not Mekabel Tefillah. That's irrelevant in terms of our Kavanas, the Kavanah Tefillah. Kavanah Tefillah is not tied to his answering the Tefillah. A Kavanah Tefillah, it's enough for us to have as much Kavanah as we're capable of, because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomeah Tefillah. That's all Klal Yisrael asks. So the question, of course, is how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? How is it possible that he responds? The possibility has to be there. Otherwise, you can't say all these tefillahs. You can't say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never answer the tefillah. Okay, so we say it because we know that he does answer tefillah. Maybe not always. But nevertheless, it's possible. So we formulate it in that way. We formulate it in the highest possible level. But the question is, how is such a thing possible? So we say very simply that when a person raises himself to a higher level, so he's therefore zocher. Through the medium of tefillah, he's zocher to be on a higher level. Once he's on that higher level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him because of the fact that he's changed his status. And because of tefillah itself, through the process of tefillah itself, he is capable of being answered because he raises himself to a higher level. The person's on a higher level, he's on a higher level of Hashgacha. He has more Hashgacha, so he's on a higher level of Hashgacha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can answer him. So the change is not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the change is in the person. We mentioned this before. The change is brought about. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu can answer the tefillah is because the person has raised himself to a higher level. And there's no doubt that is true. I mean, there's no doubt that is true. But still in all, we have one problem. And the problem is, while it may be true, there still is a logical problem. And the logical problem is that we're involved in a circular situation. Why? Because it's impossible to say that a person should ask God for something, because through the process of asking, he's going to raise himself to a higher level, and therefore God is going to answer. From a logical standpoint, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it's circular reasoning. I can't say, how do I start? I can't start to ask if, in fact, the asking itself is nonsensical. But the only reason why the asking is going to make sense is because a process that's going to take place through the asking is going to justify, in retrospect, the asking. So while it may be true, we're not denying the fact that a person, when he gets finished with his tefillah, if he's mispalel properly, he's on a different level, and he'll find that many times a lot of the things that he wanted to be mispalel for, he forgot about during his tefillah, because he realized they're unimportant, the more important things to ask for. So he changes his status during the tefillah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly deals differently with a person who's on a higher level after his tefillah than he did before. That's true. Not denying that's true. But nevertheless, there's one question that remains. The question is, it's circular reason. Because you can't possibly begin to ask on the basis, you can't say I'm asking, my asking is really, is actually not in reality. The asking doesn't make any sense. But if I do this action, which is not in reality, it's going to raise me to a higher level, and therefore I will be answered. It doesn't make sense, it's circular. Okay? That's the problem that we have in the field. Okay, that's the problem we have in the field. Yes. It's true, you have to have, before the asking, it's true. Before the asking, you have to have the shvachos shemakom. Lo olam yisara de'adam shvachos shemakom v'achar kach yispalel. That's what the Gemara says. Even though the Gemara doesn't say that it's impossible to have a tefillah without that, but lo olam yisara de'adam shvachos shemakom v'achar kach yispalel. That's the proper way to do it. But even if you say that, even if you do say that, still in all, the first request that you're going to make can't be... In other words, if you're going to say that because I was Mesadr Shvachos Shomakam, so now I have a right to ask, then all you'd have to do is be Mesadr Shvachos Shomakam and walk away. Because once you're Mesadr Shvachos Shomakam, you reach the level. So if you reach the level, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat you on the level you've attained. So what's the sense of going further? So the only reason you go further is because you're saying that through asking, through bakasha itself, a person improves himself. Like Rabbeinu Yonah says, why is it called avoda? I asking God for something. It sounds on the contrary that you're demanding. So where's the avoda? Where's the subordination to God? So he says, no. He says the subordination is the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the kol yachal, that he's no sin at all. That's true. So you see that the perfection takes place through the asking. If the perfection took place after the Shvachos Shemakam, he could stop. Okay, that's it. So the question still remains. You can't say that Yad does demand. Yad does never demands of a person that he does something irrational. It's impossible to make such a demand of a person. It has to make sense right away. So the question is, how is such a thing possible? In the first instance, it has to make sense. So apparently there's such a thing that I could actually ask God for something, and because I'm asking, he's going to change. How's that possible? All you'd have to do, you could say like this. You could say, I'll just be Mesadr my needs. If you're going to tell me that what I have to do is to organize my priorities before God, so I'll just say up to Akel HaKadosh, and then I'll organize my priorities. What's the Chaneinu Me'etcha? What's Hashiveinu Me'etzecha? What's Baruch HaLeinu? These are demands, requests, demands. Okay? So, in Tfilah, a person's not Mevakesh, he still is not Yetzer Tfilah. He's not Mevakesh, he's not Yetzer. He has to be Mevakesh. Bakash. In Tfilah, Tfilah means to judge. Okay? The Nasan Beflilin means judges. Okay. Yes. Yadis cannot make a concession to the human being and demand of him that he employ a mechanism that's completely false. That's not Yadis. Impossible. The whole thing. No. When we say Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a being, we mean to say the idea of being that we have is always tainted, because of the fact that being always involves a physical concept in our mind. But what it means is that that's the Rambam, a negative knowledge. The Rambam says a negative knowledge that the higher a person reaches, the more he negates. The question is, what kind of a positive thing is that? But the answer is, apparently there is in the soul of man a concept, an abstract concept of existence. And the more a person chisels away at the concept of existence that's tainted because of the physical, the closer he gets to the purified idea of existence, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level, but he couldn't reach the full level because he reached the highest level possible. So that is true. You're right about that. But nevertheless, there is something in man that is capable of constantly improving and purifying the idea of being that we use when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, never reaching the ultimate, but nevertheless, he chisels away at the physical part of the idea that's tainted. But there's something in the Nishmas HaOdom that is a pure idea that he strives to approach through negation. That's the Rambam's sheet. That's the Rambam's place in the Modern Law. It's a very interesting idea. But concession and tefillah, you write another score. The whole tefillah is a concession. Because Shvachos Shemakom is a concession. We can't be Messiah Shvachos Shemakom. The whole idea is absurd. But over there, see, that we understand. Why? Because over there we're saying that's why you have to have a matir to be mispalel. But the matir to be mispalel solves the problem. Because on the one hand, if we wouldn't be mispalel, so we can't relate to God at all. On the other hand, if we say Shvachos Shemakom, it's nonsensical. But the answer is because we say Shvachos Shemakom with a matir, we realize this. That's the concept of Zesh Mila Olam, Zezich Mila Dagor. You cannot enunciate the Shem Havaya because that would imply that you understand the Shem Havaya. On the other hand, if you didn't say anything, so then you can't relate to God at all. So you use the Shem Adni, and it's written, Lo Kemosha Ani Nichtav Ani Nikra. Nichtav Ani Yitkev Avkev Nikra Ani Be'alav Dalit. So it means to say that through this mechanism, the Nichtav and the Nikra, so a person realizes this idea. That's fine. So he knows that when he's relating to God, he's Mesadr Shvachos Shemakom, it's not Shvachos Shemakom. It's really, it's anything, any idea that he has is bizarre. But he knows that nevertheless, he's doing it only because on his level, this is the only way that he can relate to God. But there's nothing wrong with that. See, that's not false. It's true. That's absolutely true. And that ingenuity in Tfilah, that's the Yesod in Tfilah. It's an unbelievable Chochmas Hashem that gave us the whole concept of how to be Mespal. That very idea, true, but that's a true idea. But you can't tell me that you're going to ask for something and the asking itself is absurd. Okay. What we're missing here is we're missing Yesod. Obviously, we're missing Yesod in Tefillah. Why? Well, then, can't answer the problem because the problem requires a Yesod. There's a Yesod that's missing here in Tefillah. And that's why I have this problem. Now, we have to recognize that the fact is that even though Tefillah is something we do all the time, Bayadis is very deep. And things that we do all the time, we don't really understand what we're doing because they're based on Chochmas Hashem, and it's not a simple matter. It seems to us like a simple matter, but when you think into it, you see that the very sometimes most simple things in that you assume commonplace in Yadis, you have no idea what it is. They don't recognize that. A person doesn't recognize it, doesn't have that idea. Okay. Now, in Tefillah, you find another interesting thing in Tefillah. Really, there are two Tefillahs that are the models in Yadis for all Tefillahs. Which are the two Tefillahs? Two different personalities, two different people. One person is Chana, right. And the other one is Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly. Two people, when you think of Tefillah, remember the Gemara Brachas, Tefillah is based on two people. Tefillah is Moshe Rabbeinu and Tefillah is Chana. Because Chana gave new insight into Tefillah and she changed the whole Tzuras of Tefillah in terms of Tefillah Balachas. That was her innovation. She was right. She told the Chachamim that there's a mistake here and they were masking. And the whole Tefillah changes because of Chana. So there are two individuals that really, their Tefillahs serve as the model for Tefillah, for Klal Yisrael. Not just philosophically, but even halachically. In the Gemara. Now, it's interesting that both of these Tefillahs had one thing in common, which would seem at first sight to be completely absurd. And that is that they both did one thing. What did they do? They went so far as to do what? To give HaKadosh Baruch Hu an ultimatum. That's what they did. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was the first. Like Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'yato, he says, V'yoshev Moshe L'Hashem L'Yomar, Kisiso, Lamed Beis. V'yoshev L'Hashem L'Yomar, Ono Chot Oma Zech Ato Gedolo V'yasu L'Hem L'Hei Zor. Okay? So he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mechila and Kapara. Va'aton tiso chatoson, right? V'mayin, and if not, mechayin omisiv choshek asofta. So what does that mean? It's an ultimatum, like Rashi says. What do you mean, va'aton tiso chatoson? Rashi says, va'aton tiso chatoson, he says, hare tov. Good. V'mayin, but if not, it's not tov. Then you have to remove me from your sefer. So that's an ultimatum. It means either or. He's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either you're going to forgive them, or else, then fine, then you can write me in your sefer. But if you're not going to forgive them, then I want my name removed from your sefer. That's an ultimatum. Give an ultimatum to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Sounds very strange. It sounds preposterous. Okay? Who is man to give an ultimatum to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Over here you see, clearly, that what we said before is correct. That a person, this is not just because of reaching a higher level. This means that Moshe Rabbeinu was under the opinion that he can actually effectuate a change, Kavi Yochel and Kadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of an idea is that? Okay. You see there's another case where you see clearly, Chan also gave an ultimatum. Because Chan of the Gemara says was responsible for Kadosh Baruch Hu. She said that either you give me a child, or if you don't give me a child, so then I'll become an Isha Soto, and she'll be miyached, stay with another man privately against her husband's requests, and then she'll have to be brought to the Middash, and since she'll be found out that she was innocent, so it says the nix of an Israel Zohar, that she'll have a child that way. There's another case in the Torah where you see openly that the idea of Tefillah is that a person can be mispalel and he really can intend to change the Gzeres HaMakom. Really intend to change Gzeres HaMakom. Where do you see that? No, by Tefillah Moshe. Again, by Tefillah Moshe. You see it by Tefillah Moshe the second time. The second time. By the Meraglim. By the Meraglim. Case by the Meraglim. What does he say? He said like this. Okay. It's in the Shalach. It's in Yudalid. The Shom Mitzrayim ki Elisa v'chokacha asom azed mikirbo. Vom v'gosh v'atzazos, Shom k'ad Hashem v'kir v'am azeh. Okay, v'mata asom azeh ki ish echad. Vom v'agoyim ha-shashim v'ashim v'cholayim v'mibilti yechal asar Hashem. V'hov yasom azeh alo ha-shem shbata v'hem. V'yishchotim v'midbar. Okay, fine, that's his tefillah. The tefillah was chil v'shmo agadol. That was the same tefillah used before by the eagle. Okay, except over here he didn't bring down this chosava, since the Rabban talks about. But it's the same tefillah, chil v'shmo agadol. All right, so what does he say? Fine. But then he says, Va'ato yigdal no koach harashem. Kasher dibar to lemo. Harashem erach apayim rav chesed. No se ovin v'fesha. V'nake lo yinake. Pakat avonovas v'bonim. Al shesh v'abayim. So he says, Va'ato yigdal v'ato. And now, yigdal no koach harashem kasher dibar to lemo. You have to have a more clear reference to the fact that he's saying that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should make a change right now. All right? Slach nal avonazek gil chastecha. V'yom Hashem salachti Kidvorecha. What's Kidvorecha? Bishvil Masha Amarta, Shayonu Mibuki Chalas Hashem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know the idea of Chilo Shema Agadol, he didn't Moshe Ben to remind him. What does it mean because of his tefillah? So apparently because of his tefillah. It's openly. As a matter of fact, Chazal say, V'ulam Chai Oni, the next pasuk, V'ulam Chai Oni. So the Gemara says in Brachas, that one of the days, the Gemara says, Vulam chayani, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Malami Che Amala Kadosh Baruch Hu La Moshe, Moshe, Hechi Yisani Divarecha. You are machayani with your words. What does it mean? Hechi Yisani Divarecha. Okay. So apparently it seems clear from the Pesukim and from Chazal that a man can effectuate a change. You'd be very, find yourself in a very difficult situation to try to answer, to try to explain these psukim and these chazal, if you're going to tell me it's just because he raised himself to a higher level. Seems that he seems clear from the psukim. So apparently there's a yesodim tefillah, that is missing here. What is that yesod? What is the yesod? The yesod is like this. See, this. We in Yadus we say that there's two midos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's midas hadin and there's midas harachmin. What is the difference between midas hadin and midas harachmin? What does it mean? So midas hadin, we explained once in the beginning of the two accounts of Adam. First account is midas hadin. Second account is midas harachmin. Find it in many places. What does it mean basically? It means to say that Midas Hadin is the perfected system. Perfected system. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world and in a certain perfect system. And insofar as man partakes, fits into this perfect system, so fine. So he partakes of existence. But the moment he moves away from the perfect system, he ceases to partake of existence. Because his existence is only sanctioned in the framework of creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brought about. So, if a person ceases to live like an Adam, so he ceases to, his rights to exist cease. He ceases to exist, actually. But as an Adam, he ceases to exist. That's the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says that, Shemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, Varas Nasal Ne Adam. The other Pasuk says, Lashem, Varas Malah. So what's the Pshat? Kan Kodem Bracha, Kan Lacha Bracha. It means Kodem Bracha means that the person doesn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it means his existence is not really sanctioned. Such an existence is not really sanctioned by God. So therefore he has no right to eat anything. Because he has no right to partake of anything, any sustenance that God created for him, because that's not the existence that God created. But La'acha Bracha, then it's Aretz Nasanos Ne'adam. Because then he has a right to exist, to sustain himself, because that's part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So either he's in the plan or he's out of the plan. Out of the plan, his existence is nothing. Okay. But you see, it's an interesting thing. Midas Hadin, that's Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin means the absolute situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. And you know what Chazal said. If it was just a Midas Hadin, the world could never exist. But nevertheless, there is a Midas Hadin. There is a perfect situation. But what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no egg in Midas HaRachamim? Midas HaRachamim means when man deviates from the perfect plan, when he deviates from the perfect plan, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up an alternative plan, if it's feasible that his existence should still have some kind of value to it. It's not the original plan, but nevertheless, if his existence has some kind of value on a lower level, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him and supports him. That's Midas HaRachman. Okay, that's Midas HaRachman. So Chazal say that we all exist as Midas HaRachman. Midas HaDin, nobody made it. Okay. But at any rate, but there are still two systems. It doesn't take away, because the world is created with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite Chachma, and his infinite Chachma dictates that there are two different levels. Give an example. Let's say, for instance, by Bilam. And Bilam wanted to go with the people that Balak sent. So what was the first reply? Lo Seilach Imam. Lo Sora Sa'am Kivaruch. Then he said that he sent some rabbins and echbodim, more honorable Sarim, to Bilam. So what did Bilam do? He said, okay, let me ask again. He asked again, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He says, you can go with him. The Efes Adavar Sharadabar Lachos Asadabar. Thinkers. What? Gosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. First he told him, don't go. And then he says, go. So what's the answer? The answer is, the first answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave was the objective answer. Objectively, Bilam, you're wasting your time. There's no reason to go, and that's it. But Bilam was weak. He couldn't resist the force, the influence of the other people that is Balak had sent. He couldn't say no. It is impossible to do that. His position, whatever, his ego, his weaknesses, his chesroness, he didn't allow him to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you're wasting your time, but you can go provided that you don't curse them. Okay? Secondary point. We have in Yadis, we have such a concept. What do you have as a concept in Yadis? The Melech. Melech Yisrael. Right? Why did Shmuel criticize the people for a Melech, but then he criticized them bitterly? And then in the end he says, no, but now that you have a Melech, you have to do this, that, you have to make sure you don't deviate from the path of Torah because of the Melech. Well, either you have it or not. What's the answer? The answer is, Midas HaDin Shmuel was enough. Didn't need anybody else. But the people were weak and they were unable to live according to that plan. So therefore, the Navi said that, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctions the secondary plan, provided the secondary plan doesn't lead you to destruction. It's a compromise, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits it. Because there still is something worthwhile in your existence in that manner also. That's Midas HaRachman. That's Midas HaRachman. Midas HaRachman requires enough on the part of a person. The person asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachman, it means he has to recognize that he's failed in the original plan. He's failed in the original plan, and now he's only asking that he could exist in a secondary way where it's unbeneficial. That's the same thing with Chana. What was Chana? Chana had very strong maternal instincts. So she couldn't overcome them, so she was tormented. She couldn't exist. So really, Midas HaDin was that she should accept it. That's it. Be the Kabbal. Can't have a child, you can't have a child. But no, she said, I can't. I can't exist this way. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me a child, she says, then V'anochi Yishultil L'Hashem. I will not satisfy my maternal instincts. I'll use it in order, I'm giving him away to be a Navi Hashem, and I will not take anything personal from this enjoyment. But I must have him. But without him, I can't. To totally deny my instincts is impossible. But I could take those instincts and use them for a higher level. That was the second plan. That was Midas HaRachman. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Chana. He said, the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu that Klal Yisrael, Va'ata Hanicholi, Okay, so what does it mean? It means that they were deserving of Kliya. As the Pasuk says in Devarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Heref mimeni vashmini. Same thing. Heref mimeni vashmini. So the Gemara says, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually showed Moshe Rabbeinu a Pesach. But he said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, one second, Heref mimeni. So it means that I have a chance. I have a chance. What does it mean he has a chance? It means that Klal Yisrael are really chayav kliya al pi midas hadin. There's no question about it. They're a chayav kliya. And there's nothing, they were removed from the perfect plan. But however, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to establish a secondary plan. A secondary plan. And the secondary plan that he established was a plan through Midas HaRachamim. Through Midas HaRachamim. It means the perfect plan failed. But nevertheless, he was able to, on his own, to implement another plan. So who, to whom do we deserve our existence? I mean, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but whom do we deserve our existence to? We exist only because of what? Because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was innovative and created, and on his own, he worked out a new plan. It's interesting. It says, the Gemara says, where the Gemara describes it, in Brachas. The Gemara says that Vayedav Hashem Moshe lech reid. My lech reid, Amar Avalos, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe, reid migdulascha. Klum nasat lecha gedul ala b'shvil Yisrael. V'achshav Yisrael chotu. Ata lamali. So the Gemara says, miyad toshash kocho shel Moshe. So he immediately became very weak, because God told him he's going to destroy him, and there's no value, there's no, his only value as a leader was because of Klal Yisrael. He says, lech reid. You should go down from your gedula. So he became very weak. V'lo hayo lo koach l'daber. He wasn't able to speak. The chayvon she'omar heref mimeni vashmidim omar Moshe dover zet toli bi miyad omad v'nischazek betfila u'pikesh rachmin. Okay, so the Gemara says there was nischazek betfila. It's an amazing concept that we have in tefila and yadis. Tefila and yadis is an unbelievable thing. What does tefila mean really? Tefila means, unlike what the rest of the world thinks of tefila, their idea of prayer. Their idea of prayer is a begging God. That's the idea of begging. Okay? Prostrating oneself before God. Begging for mercy. Our idea of tefillah is a little different. Our idea of tefillah is innovation. Innovation. Chachma. It means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man the opportunity to use his chachma to devise a second plan for his existence. Or in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, for the existence of Klal Yisrael. And if he doesn't do that, then he fails and he lost. It's gone. That's exactly what the Gemara means. And the Gemara says, when he heard Lech Reid, it's all over. Miyad Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe V'lo Lo Yikocho Daber. He couldn't speak because it's all over. So then he said, when he heard Heref Mimeni, Omar Moshe, Dovor Ze Toloi Bi. He recognized that now he has the opportunity, if he could be a great enough Chacham, if he could summon his energies, he can devise another plan on his own, and he could save Klal Yisrael. But who had to do it? Moshe Rabbeinu had to do it. Nobody else could do it. Only he could do it. And that's why it says, Miyad Omad V'Nitzchazek B'Tfilah. It means it took courage for him at that moment to realize that he has the ability, it's dependent upon his chokhmah, to save Klal Yisrael. Once he heard half a minute, he realized it's totally in him. So then he summoned all his energies to work out a new plan, to devise a plan that would be able to save Klal Yisrael. But if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for his ingenuity, for his creativity, for his initiative, Klal Yisrael would never exist. So by us, in our concept of tefillah, it's an amazing idea. It means that tefillah is not a subordination of the personality, begging. On the contrary, tefillah, real tefillah is where a person uses his chokhmah, his creativity, to devise another plan, an alternative plan, an ulterior method of saving his existence or the existence of Klal Yisrael. And how does he do it? He has to do it himself through his own creativity. His bechira. Ein dover zet toli elabi. This thing depends upon me. My bechira. If I can work it out, then I can. If not, it's gone. And that's the same thing in an individual's personal life as well. A person who, that's why actually, you see, the halacha is, that's why, what is tefillah really? What do Chazal call tefillah? There's another word that Chazal used for tefillah. In brachas. Bakash is one, there's another word. Constantly in the Gemara. Rachami. What is rachami? Why is it called rachami? Because tefillah is invoking Midas HaRachamim. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say in tefillah by the Meraglim in Pasha Shlach? What did he say? He says, "V'ato yigdal nakach Hashem kashed dibarta lema." What? Al Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed. Ramban, that's why I left that rachamachana. Okay, it's kasha, but that's what it means. Erech apayim v'rav chesed. No say ovam v'fresha. What does that mean? That's not midas adin. Midas adin is not midas adin. That's midas rachman. So tefillah, that's what he meant. V'ata yigdal l'makoloch ad Hashem kasher dibarta leimor. Where was the dibarta? Midas rachman. It means that God gives man, and he gives man the opportunity, the ability to work out, even when he's lost, he's missed his goal completely, but if he can work out with his chachma another plan, then he can exist. If he doesn't do it, he's gone. It's totally bo. That's our concept of tefillah. Just a second. That's what. So tefillah really, tefillah is midas harachman. Tefillah is midas harachman. That's the essence of tefillah. Midas adin, you don't require any tefillah. Persons on the level of midas adin, there's no need for tefillah. What is this bar for? Sit and learn. What are we this bar for? Tefillah, bakasha to be mevakesh makadosh baruch hu, is only when there's a necessity for midas to invoke midas harachman. That's why there's an interesting halacha. The Rambam holds that tefillah is midaraisa every day. But the Ramban argues. The Ramban says that there's no right that there's tefillah midaraisa every day. But the Ramban agrees in one case. What's the case? Esar. Why Esar? Why is Esar different? What's the reason? The reason is very simple. Because Esara is, when there's an Esara, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing us all along. And if a person lives according to the way of the Torah, people live according to the way of the Torah, there's no such thing as an Esara. Only an Es Bracha. So what does Esara mean? Esara means, ipso facto, that what? That in terms of Midas Adin, you failed. You failed in terms of Midas Adin, that's Esara. So therefore, what must the person do in an Esara? What's the halacha of tefillah? It means Esara is a chi of midaraisa to bring about, bring into realization the Midas Harachamim, which is done through what? Through what method? Through tefillah. Through designing an alternative plan for his existence. I missed it, it's true, I can't exist in the perfect way, but there's another way, that even though it's not the perfect way, but it's still a worthwhile existence. If a person does that, if a person designs an ulterior method, an ulterior way of life, which has value, even though it's not the perfect way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him exist. That's Midas HaRachman. That's really what tefillah is. Tefillah is Rachman. It's in the time of disaster. What is the okay? It's interesting. The Gemara says in Brachos, leave me alone. What does it mean? It means to say that a person, and that's the concept of the we mentioned before, how could a person give God an ultimatum? What kind of sense does that make? It means to say that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu allows and even demands of man that he work out his tefillah according to the way his mind sees it to the nth degree, with every possible, with everything, every fiber in his nature, his mind and his emotion completely attached to the idea. He has a right to work it out purely according to the way his chokhmah determines. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, that's an ultimatum. What is an ultimatum? It means what he was saying was, according to my understanding. That was, why does it mean? It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Salachti kidvorecha. What does it mean, kidvorecha? Just like you said. That's the reason. Which means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know before that there's such a thing as Cholos Ma'agadol. But it means to say, and the Gemara says, Hecha Yisani, so Rashi says, Bifnei Omos. What does it mean? It means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu worked out every aspect of the situation. He weighed every aspect of the situation. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an alternative? He said, look, I'll destroy these people. You'll be the great nation. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu answer? He answered, he says, yes, but just a moment. If you do that, he weighed every aspect of the situation. There's going to be Chil Shema Gadol will be involved. And what about Zechor L'Avadecha, which means to say it won't be any more B'nai Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. It'll be B'nai Moshe. It'll be a whole new concept. And it's true that I am that I'm a descendant from them, but it's not the same. The Shua is still lacking. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov is lacking. It's going to be compromised. And if a kisei of three raglayim can't stand, a kisei of one raglayim, it'll be a breakdown in the Ummah. They won't be able to identify with the others like they did before. So it'll cause, on the contrary, it'll cause a weakening of the commitment to Torah in the future. So he weighed every aspect of the situation, and he presented it before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means with his chachma, he weighed every aspect of the situation, and then he worked out a method of being a greater leader and being able to bring the people, although not to the perfect state, because you see the Chet HaEgel is always among Klal Yisrael Olam Voed until Bias HaMashiach. So you see that this Chet can't be eradicated, but it means to say that what? It means to say he worked out a different plan that what? That would be able to permit their existence, that their existence should be worthwhile. Okay? But it means to say that he worked it out. It couldn't just be stame plan. It means he had to understand every aspect of the situation. If he didn't understand that his chachma didn't perceive every aspect of the situation, that's not a tefillah. The reason why it was neda was because in his tefillah, in his chachma, he understood every reason why this other plan is not really going to have defects, and why his plan has milas, what the advantage is, and how he's going to bring it about. If it wasn't for his chachma, if it wasn't for his perception, so then he simply, his tefillah would not be able to be effective. Okay? That's what it means. What is the ultimatum? He says, "Vim ayin mecheinu misifachar shakasafta." He meant that if I fail in my mission to save Klal Yisrael, so there's no reason to have me in the sefer. There's no reason. I can't be there. I can't be there. I don't belong in the sefer. I don't belong in the sefer Torah. Rashi doesn't mean sefer Torah. Rambam doesn't mean different chazal. But let's look at Rashi's chat. Mecheinu misifachar shakasafta means he can't be in the sefer Torah. So it means to say when a person works out according to his chachma what the situation is, every detail of the situation has to be worked out, even if it means it results in an ultimatum. Because it has to be according to the way his mind sees it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants man to work according to the way his chachma perceives it. Okay? So if it results in an ultimatum, he has to state the ultimatum. That's how far it goes. Of course, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer? Mi yeshachotu li yamchenu misifri. What's the answer to the question? I think the answer is it was an argument. Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. What he meant was like this. According to Rashi's chat, he meant that the Maya Mechina Masifcha Shagasofta means to say that I can't belong in the Sefer because the Sefer Torah's Moshe is really a Sefer which shows the design of the Ashgacha. That's the purpose of the Sefer. From Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, from Bereshis Bara, to Leinei Kol Yisrael, it shows the design of the Ashgacha. So he said that if I am not successful insofar as the design of the Ashgacha vis-a-vis Kol Yisrael is concerned, then I don't belong in the Sefer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, no. Mi ashechot olei am chenem Sefer. What does it mean? It means to say, yes, it's true, that the Sefer Torah really shows you the interaction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and people in terms of about people because of the results that they were successful. Not successful, success doesn't matter. If the Ashgacha ceases because of your chait, then you don't belong in the Sefer Torah. But if it just ceases because of a different situation and you can't be successful in your leadership, then you belong in the Sefer Torah. So it was a machlekes between Moshe Rabbeinu and God as to what exactly the subject matter of the Sefer Torah is. Okay. That's the dialogue. That's the dialogue. So Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong on that one. But he was right in carrying out to the nth degree the way he perceived his idea the way he thought. So it means to say in Yadus, tefillah is the most unbelievable thing. It means it goes along with one principle of Yadus. And what is the principle of Yadus? And this is the principle that's kineged all the umos ha'olam, la'avdeh. Because in Yadus, there's only one way that a person can attain anything, and that is through his bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never interferes with the person's bechira, never interferes with the person. That's why the whole thing with Paro is such a big kasha. How could one person, the old Rishon talking about, how could he interfere with the bechira? One person, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't interfere with the person's bechira. And anything that you attain is completely because of your bechira, even in tefillah. Tefillah itself is totally dependent upon a person's bechira. Ein dover zeh toli ela bi. That's the tefillah's Moshe Rabbeinu. And the same thing with tefillah's Chana. But he asked a good question. How Chana could say such a thing is a good kasha. How could Chana say, Mela Moshe Rabbeinu, it was given an ultimatum, okay? Because he said, he understands the way the Sefer Torah is supposed to be written, he doesn't belong there. So take me out of it. That's what he said. But by Chana is hard to understand because she said she's going to do something which involves an Issa. That's a good question. How could she say such a thing? I don't know the answer to that question. That's a good question. I just brought it in to show you the idea of the ultimatum. Yes? No. It's not a change. No, on the contrary, that is the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is that a person should have bechira. And a person should exercise his Bechira and should bring about the good that he attains only through Bechira, through no other method, even in Tefillah. Let me explain something here. We the model of Tefillah that we have is from Moshe Rabbeinu. Forget about the Medrash. If Moshe Rabbeinu was Mespar and he gave an ultimatum, he had a better idea of Tefillah than we did. Chazal say it was a chet. You have to understand it. It's a daki dakos and chet. It's not a chet like he simply didn't know what Tefillah was. This is crazy. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what Tefillah was. Of course he knew what Tefillah was. He knew very well. Although I wish I have one fraction of his understanding of Tefillah. The way he formulated Tefillah was precisely the way the greatest Chacham would formulate Tefillah. But Chazal teaches us that even every person on his level was a chet. Not a chet. It's not some crazy thing. Moshe Rabbeinu came with an idea that he's going to give God an ultimatum and this is absurd. That forget about. That's clear almost. Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu's formula for Tefillah is the formula for Tefillah. There's no question about it. You have to understand these Midrashim, when they speak about a chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't even understand this. It's like a dakas in his level, what it means. We have to look into it and understand what it means. But the basic formula that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't know how to be misfollowed, that's impossible to say such a thing. So then, if Moshe Rabbeinu gave God an ultimatum and Chana gave God an ultimatum, it means that there's a justification for such a concept. I don't recommend that anyone do such a thing. You're speaking about people. No. I'm just using it to show you how far the concept of Tefillah goes. That for certain people that are on a certain level, they can even give a Kodesh Baruch an ultimatum. Certain people, on a certain level, it's a correct notion. The notion is not a mistake. No one will say that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake in his formula of Tefillah. No such thing as a mistake in his formula. He knew how to be misfollowed. I explained to the marriage, because of that, he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. It was the same, one time I spoke about that. The reason why he forfeited going to Eretz Yisrael was because the idea of being, when he hit the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, so the idea of accomplishing his ultimate mission is what caused him to do that. And that was a chet. Because a person is not supposed to think about what the results are going to be. He's only supposed to think about the maaseh. And because he was overcome at that moment by accomplishing his mission, that was his chet, and that's why he could never accomplish the mission. That's why I couldn't bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And there's a similar thing over here, where he said, he said, if I'm not successful, so then I don't belong in the Sefer, because the Hashgachas Hashem is only insofar as me being an instrument, a successful instrument of Klal Yisrael, insofar as Klal Yisrael is concerned. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, me yishachotah we have come in the Sefer. It's true, the Sefer Torah is not just a description of Tzaddikim, it's a description of the interaction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and certain individuals who are part of Klal Yisrael, who were models for Klal Yisrael, but it doesn't mean that they have to be successful. That was the answer. Yes. Changing Tevis Tfilas Yod. Changing Tevis Tfilas Yod. That's why it's a Tfilas Yod. Because we don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change his will. And his will is that Tevis should exist. That's why a person is foul Zach in a cave, and it's too late. He can't misfollow anymore because it's already established. In Tevis, Tefillah Shav. That's correct. Tefillah can only work within a certain framework of the Ratzon Hashem. But it is the Ratzon Hashem that a person should effectuate through his Bechira. Should give an alternative plan. He has to come up with a plan. If he doesn't come up with a plan, he's lost. Okay. So, and what is that? That's what Chazal mean when they say. What does Chazal mean when they say Melamed Shetofso? Shetofso. What does Chazal say there? Melamed. Kodem Shu Tofes Chavero Bebigdal Vamalafan. Any Menichah Achetim Chalam. Like he grabbed the Kodesh Baruch Hu by the garments and said, "I'm not going to let you go." What does it mean? It means it shows you how far a person has a right to follow his mind the way his mind sees it when he's omed b'tfilah. That's what it shows you. That melameh shetofso l'kadosh baruch hu ka'odam shetofes l'chaver b'bigdo, like a person grabs his friend and says, "I'm not going to let you go." What does it mean? It means that a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants a person, when he works out in his tefillah, his method, he wants him to have such, to be so strong about the method that he won't let go. He won't even let HaKadosh Baruch Hu go. That's what it means. It means to the nth degree of confidence. That's what Chazal say. I'm only mikra kasviyav shlomer, but that's what that's the concept of tefillah. That's the concept of tefillah. Okay, let me just finish. I'll take a question. Yes. Midas Adin doesn't require tefillah. Midas Adin is automatic. If a person on a level where he can live with Midas Adin, he doesn't need any tefillah. That's what the Ramban says. Only Eis Tzara. What's Eis Tzara? Eis Tzara means when the Midas Adin tells you that it's all over. That's Eis Tzara. Okay. Wasn't necessary for them. They were on a higher level. It wasn't necessary. Yeah. The reason, the alternate plan only has a value if it's his plan. If it's his plan, that's the only time it has a value. If it's God's plan, it's no good. Because that's the plan has to be. B'derech Shalom Rotzeh Leilech Molichen Osa. It's a premise in Tefillah. It means to say that if it's his plan and he wants to do this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with him. But if it's not his plan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't. That would mean that it's possible for a person to attain something without using his own free will. Without using his. You understand what I mean? And that's impossible. Because in Yadis, the only way you can gain something is through your Koach HaBechira. If the person doesn't have the ability, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done every person according to his level. According to his level. Doesn't that, you know, I mean, we're all, even the greatest person is far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Infinitely distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But each person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works on his level. He has to use his mind, his abilities. Every person has to use their own abilities on their madrega, on their level. So each person is created. He's endowed with the life on his level. But not always going to be the spot with tefillah like Moshe Rabbeinu, but on his level, it's all his tefillah. So that's no problem. But the person, see, what people don't realize is that the initiative has to be used and the bechira has to be used in terms of their chachma. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of a person that he works out his life with. That itself is bechira. That is bechira. It's not that the person doesn't just think of things. If a person has a problem, most people have problems in life, they react to their problems immediately, they respond. A chacham has a different way of looking at things. When he sees he has a problem, and he sees his emotions are being drawn, he stops a minute. And he says, just a second. He tries to think it out, like you think out a sugya. And then when he comes to a conclusion, then he acts. That's a chacham. A regular person reacts. Something is bad, he starts shouting, this is no good, he just reacts. A chacham has a different way of life. What's a different way of life? He controls himself. He realizes the situation here, and he realizes only one way he's going to get out of this, and that's if he thinks it through very carefully. And if he doesn't think it through very carefully, and that's his choice, if he doesn't think it through carefully, he's not going to be successful. So this is the highest form of Bechira, for a person to realize that he must, in order to get out of this situation, he has to use his Koach HaChokhmah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed with in order to work it out. That's what Bechira should be used for. Bechira is not just to avoid eating a hot dog that's rafe. That's not the real situation of Bechira. Bechira isn't just to avoid an evil. Bechira is to use the kochos and nefesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you to employ them. It's not an easy thing. It takes a lot of kayach. What do you see? The Gemara says it takes kayach. That's what the Gemara says. Miyad omad v'nitzchazek b'tfilah. It means it took kayach. And who was first, he was completely floored. He was unable to speak. But then omad v'nitzchazek. Once he saw that, that's kayach HaBechira. Moshe Ben uses kayach HaBechira. He had to strengthen himself to be able to do it. It's a difficult thing to do. You think it's an easy thing in life when a person is confronted with problems, personal problems, and they're overcome by their emotions? You think it's an easy thing for a person to withdraw and say, just a second, I need 2 days to think this out, I have to work out a plan, I have to use chachma here, I can't allow myself to be drawn by my emotions? That's not an easy thing. That's the koach ha-bechira par excellence. That's where a person is using his koach ha-bechira. And the same thing in tefillah. A person thinks that tefillah is an automatic phenomenon. It's not an automatic phenomenon. A person has to be... Pilel is chachma, means before his mispal, he has to sit down and think out carefully, exactly, just like he'd be working on the most difficult problem that would be taxing his mind, and be able to work out an alternative plan. That is bechira. That's using the koach bechira. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Obviously, a person who's bal b'chol yom is not mispal like tefillah Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but that's a tefillah for Nesar. What I want to say is we mentioned before that the tefillah, we spoke about different aspects of tefillah. We spoke about Omid Lefnei Hashem. We spoke about organizing one's thoughts, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's Omid Lefnei Hashem. And that's a part of the process of Tefillah. The Bakashas themselves, and I said that's true. We're not denying what we said last time. But what we're doing is we're adding a different dimension to it. What is the different dimension? The different dimension explains why we are Mispala B'Lashon Bakasha. Because such a phenomenon of Bakasha is possible. We don't know. I mean, we don't know. We're not on the level of a Chana or a Moshe Rabbeinu to work out every day tefillah. I mean, it's a difficult thing. That's a tefillah based sar. But nevertheless, like the Rav one time said, it's always nice sar. So that's why we must follow the lashon bakasha, because bakasha is proper. The idea is a true idea. The idea of bakasha. And on the contrary, since it is true, it would be inappropriate not to use Lashon Bakasha, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer tefillahs. That would be wrong to do. And even though we know, like the Gemara says, a person shouldn't feel confident this tefillah is going to be answered, because who knows? Even if a person devises the perfect plan in his mind, maybe it's the wrong plan. So he doesn't know. So he can't be confident. But even in our situation of tefillah, every day on a daily basis, we're not devising plans. We're not on that. We're not on that level. So what I want to say is like this: that the two aspects of tefillah that we spoke about in the past are true, and today is true as well. There's an interesting corroboration for it. Chazal say that there are three concepts in tefillah. By Avram Avinu, it says that Avram can have a makom asher omad shom es pnei ad Hashem. The ein amida ela tefillah. The second time it says tefillah, it says vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basodeh b'fnazarav. He went out to speak. The ein sicha ela tefillah, the Gemara says. And the third one is by Yaakov Avinu. Vayivga b'makom vayolen shom. The ein pegiya ela lashon tefillah. What is pegiya? Pegiya means when you demand something. Okay. So, actually, all three things that we said are true insofar as tefillah is concerned. The essence of tefillah, omed lefnei Hashem, is the primary benefit that a man has. That man has when he's omed b'tefillah. And vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada, tefillah is a sicha. What does it mean by a sicha? It means a verbalization, an organization of ideas concerning his life, concerning his priorities. That's the second aspect of tefillah. That's what we learn from Yitzchak. And the third one from Yaakov, vayifga b'makom, pegiya, means that tefillah also is a demand and a request based upon a person working out an alternative plan and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's midas harachamim. That's the third aspect of tefillah. All three are correct. So when we're mispalel every day, we don't formulate a tefillah like Moshe Rabbeinu did, because we're not on that level. A person really should. If a person sees his innate sorrow, he should do it individually. People don't do it. It's a difficult thing to do. It's not correct, really. A person should do it. But on a daily basis, what we're saying is that we're it's like a combination. What we're saying basically is like this: we're omed lefnei Hashem, and we organize our thoughts, our bakushas. We organize our bakushas, and we ask for certain things, and we hope that through the fact that we're mispalel, that we organize our bakushas properly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something for us, you see, what we're saying is, in other words, implicit in the bakasha is that we're directing our energies to a higher level. So implicit in our bakasha is an alternative plan. But we're not on the level to work out the exact formula for the alternative plan. But implicit is that it is an alternative, that we are directing ourselves to a higher level in tefillah. So therefore we're in the mevakesh, even though we don't really have a total plan, but we hope that the fact that we are directing our bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does answer if a person has an alternative plan. It's like an implicit alternative. We're not on the level to work out such a thing. But the benefits of tefillah that we have, is amido lefnei Hashem and sicha, and also we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, if we have a proper idea, that he should answer our tefillah as well. Yes. I'm not negating emotions. I'm just saying I'm negating misguided emotion. In other words, emotion has to be guided by chachmah. That's a premise of Yadus. Emotion is very good. On the contrary, I showed you. Malamech a tough soul with Moshe Rabbeinu Lakadosh Baruch Hu the Vigdo. It is like the Kodama Tophis Chavere the Vigdo. Umole Mikra Kosvi Ev Shalomo. That's not emotion. Of course that's emotion. But it's emotion that's following Chachma. That's the proper emotion. We don't negate emotion. But emotion has to follow Chachma. Emotion that doesn't follow Chachma, that's just rampant emotion, is not what Yadis really endorses. That's not his answer. The tears are good. Tears, because what the tears do is it directs, first it does one thing. It shows the person what the tzara is, and it directs them to the tzara, but then it causes them to reflect about the tzara, and also the tears is an extent of the kavanas alei, the himoras nefesh. And she was the way she was misfollowed. What was her whole halacha that she discovered? The whole halacha was that kavana and tefillah overrides how a person should look. Before her, they said, no, omed b'fnei ha'melach, you wouldn't talk to a melach that way. You're just moving your lips and not saying that, and then nothing audible. It's not proper. So she said, no, ishok shas rochanovik. So, Hashem, ani Hashem lo shanisi, It doesn't mean you effectuate a change, Chalila, in the burial of. That's absurd. That's clearer. It means to say that this is precisely when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with Bechira, this is another situation of Bechira. Tefillah is another Echi Timtza of Bechira. Tefillah is Echi Timtza of Bechira. It's a situation of Bechira. Okay. The Chiddush of Chana was that before her time they said, Tefillah is Omer Fnei Melech. So how could you, it's not appropriate to stand Fnei Melech and not to have an audible sound being produced. So she said, no. She said that Kavonas Alev overrides everything in Tefillah. That's what she said. That's why the Rav mentioned that Rav Chaim would always, his tefillah he added Mr. Yisrael out loud. Why? Because he couldn't be mechavan that way. He says, my grandfather couldn't be mechavan that way, and I can't be mechavan that way either. So he says, so that's why the Rav always daven out loud, speaking out loud. Why? Because because that's really the halacha of Chana, that the kavonas alev overrides everything. That's why they made a tefillah balachash in order to demonstrate that idea, to demonstrate the idea that Kavonas Alev is override how a person appears. Once Rav Akiva started one corner of the room and wound up in the other corner of the room. Fnei HaMelech, he wouldn't do that. But the answer is anything that results from Kavonas Alev overrides the propriety of Tefillah. That's what it means. What? The etiquette of Tefillah. That was Chana's halacha. That was her innovation. She argued with them and they said she was right. She brought to their attention. She knew she was right. She was right. I didn't bezel for that. She was right. She did it. Yeah. It meant that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to commit himself through his greater increase in Chochmas Hashem to be able to be a greater leader and to pull Klal Yisrael through. We don't know the Tefillahs. The Snap of Nehashem is Obama, Yom is Obama, Lola Shes Napolti, and this was 40 days, Ramban says. There were endless Tefillahs. We don't know the Tefillahs. We only know a few words. But he worked out a whole system and a plan. Apparently, we don't know that plan. But he worked a whole plan to save Klal Yisrael. That's what it was. Should have doubted. That what we're saying is that people don't do it, but if a person is an individual works out a plan where he's going to use his energies for a higher level, if Kadosh Baruch Hu answers his bakasha, he should do it. If the people that are going understand tefillah, it'll be a different result. You don't train, you know, I'm not, yeah, a person has to know what the gedorim are when tefillah can help, when it can't help. And like a person who's followed the change of tefillah, tefillah sure. Maybe it was, tefillah sure. But it has to be within the framework of the Teva. But we do believe in Hashgachas Hashem, in Hashgacha. But the only thing is, you have to realize this is a rare situation. A person doesn't even know what it means. Only the Pnei Hashem, and a person is misfollowed, and you understand how much we even the tzaddik we don't know. But Chani Amagel when he made a circle, and the Gishomim came right away. I mean, there was also an ultimatum, by the way. There was also an ultimatum. Not leaving until it rains, because I'll say the poor Mechem. If it wasn't for him, it wasn't that the Kadosh Baruch Hu answers him. So apparently he had a right to, he was on a level, he had a right to make an ultimatum. It was an ultimatum again. You see, the idea of ultimatum is correct idea. Plenty of Michael himself. But we're not on that level to do such things. I mean, but the person that's on the true level of tefillah, absolutely. Hashgachas Hashem is not an ace. Hashgachas Hashem is a natural thing in the Teva. Natural thing. How it works in the Teva, we don't know. But Hashgachas Hashem is a natural thing. It's not an ace. No one ever called Hashgachas Hashem an ace. Nisim on Mitzrayim. But what happened with the others is not an ace. Vayera lavu v'tzayera v'kel shakai. That's not an ace. It was the Hashgacha. Hashgacha is not an ace. Hashgacha is a natural thing. Okay. Yeah. Part of the plan was Hodieni knows Rechecha. So if he knows if he understands the way God relates to God's Hashgacha, so then he himself will be able to improve himself in terms of his how he relates to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu will benefit from that knowledge. So it was an increase in knowledge that allowed him to do it.